The Mistress of Windfell Manor. Written by Diane Allen, read by Anne Dover. A Weaver's Lament.
Come all you cotton weavers, your looms you must pull down. You must be employed in factories, in country or in town, for our cotton masters have found out a wonderful new scheme. These calico goods now wove by hand, they're going to weave by steam.
A verse from a 19th century broadsheet ballad. Chapter 1. Yorkshire Dales, Spring, 1860. Wesley Booth stood with his hands clenched behind his back and looked out of the parlour window of Crummock Farm, admiring the early morning view over the dew-clad dales towards the hamlet of Eldroth. "There wasn't a better view in all Yorkshire," he proclaimed to himself, as he turned and glared at the young maid as she put too much coal on the newly lit fire.
"Ah, not a finer sight they'll find, Mary, than looking out of this winder on an early spring morning. God's own county, that's what we're in, lass. Mark my words, God's own county."
"Yes, sir." Mary looked up at her new master for a brief second, remembering to curtsy just in time before smoothing her apron.
"Go easy with the coal, lass. Anybody would think we were made of money."
Wesley scowled at the young lass from the village of Ostwick as she added another piece of coal before brushing the hearth.
"Yes, sir. Sorry, sir." Mary blushed.
Wesley smiled to himself. It felt good, finally, to be in control of his family home.
By God, he'd waited long enough for this day, and now it was here. He stretched and yawned. It had been a long night, and he thought his father was never going to die. 88 was a bloody good age for the old bugger, and he'd been sickly for years, but would not give up control of the 365 acres of land that belonged to Crummock Farm.
The words his father said nearly every day echoed in Wesley's ears.
365 acres, one for every day of the year, and all containing the sweat off my back.
Sweat off his back, my arse, grinned Wesley. It had been his sweat, that and the sweat of the farm labourers he'd employed, and his father had just stood leaning on his stick, giving the orders.
Anyway, the old bugger was dead, cold as the grave in his bed up above. And Wesley was master and owner now.
He breathed in heavily and looked once more out of the window. The view was grand. The sun shone clear and playful beams filtered through the budding branches of the sycamore tree at the end of the garden. It was going to be a good day, despite a death in the family. It had been expected, and no one should cry over someone who'd reached that age. After breakfast, he would ride around his inheritance. Not that he didn't know every inch of it already, but now it was his, and that made all the difference. As if on cue, Mrs. Cranston entered the parlour.
"Breakfast is out in the dining room, and Miss Lottie is waiting for you. She seems a bit upset, if you don't mind me saying so."
Lucy Cranston looked at her new master. She'd known him as both man and boy, and realised how much he'd waited for this day.
"Upset my arse. The only thing she'll be upset about will be losing the odd guinea that the old devil used to give her. Our Lottie is as cunning as a vixen. God help the man she marries."
Wesley smiled at Lucy Cranston. He could talk plain to her, and she knew it. There were no secrets between him and the cook, who'd served him and his family well.
"Well, she does look a little pale. I've told her to put some more rouge on. No doubt we'll have callers all day once word is out that Mr. Booth has died. And we want her to look her best, especially if that Archie Atkinson comes calling. Now, Mrs. Cranston, are you matchmaking with that nephew of yours? Our Lottie'll do just the opposite of what you want. You know how strong-willed she is. Besides, I doubt he'll have enough brass for my lass. She's been used to the finer things in life."